we'll go Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello, everybody, and welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Michael, and with me is the other co-host.
Going on two dates at the same time while trying to go to the bathroom and change into a drag. It's me, Jeremy. Michael, how in the world are you?
Oh, I'm a little under the weather, Jeremy.
I'm a little over the weather, Michael. I just got out from under the weather, and I'm feeling great.
That's so funny. My family, everyone in my family was sick, and then I wasn't getting sick. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm immune to this one. And then
I'm so great.
Then yesterday I was like, oh, God. No, I'm not immune to this one.
Feh. Fooey.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, but I think I can soldier through for a beer. The light is at the end of the tunnel, so let's do this.
I agree.
Do you got a beer brag, Jeremy?
I do, Michael. So yesterday we went down to take a guess, Big Grove in Iowa City.
Oh, yes. Okay.
For a trivia fundraiser for kids roller derby? That's not a question. Yeah, you heard me. Iowa City is weird like that sometimes. But it's cool. It's fine. It's grand. It's great. We went down there. We raised some money for kids to do things that don't involve beating each other. But, well, I mean, I guess it kind of does.
It kind of does a little.
But in an organized fashion. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So what were the stakes? And then what was the beer?
I don't remember what first prize was because there was a lot of people and it was kind of a cluster. But second prize was 50. So I imagine for a $50 gift card to Big Grove. So I imagine first place was probably 100. Third place was a round of beers. We did not win, which sucks. But
that does.
But I mean, what are you gonna do? It happens. There's a lot of people. It's harder when there's a ton of people.
Definitely.
And I think I speak for counsel of the show when I say being able to purchase mulligans is BS.
Oh, how does that work?
Yeah. So if you didn't know the answer to a question, you just put this sticker that you would purchase at, you know, whatever rate they were selling them at, and you would automatically get that one correct. So you're basically buying points, which is fine in a fundraiser, but it kind of negates the point of
competition,
I suppose. Yeah. All that stuff. Regardless, good time was had by all. It took 3 hours, which was indicated by the fact that this almost certainly was the first time the people running the show had run that particular kind of show. But I had Big Grove's Easy Eddie. This was an IPA that they had last year that was good. It's an unfiltered kind of flaked wheat one. Not terribly unlike Goose Fight from Brew Hoo Hoo, but, you know, better. And so they did another batch of it, and I was told that it was a better batch, and they were right. It is a better batch. It's a supremely fruity one, kind of melony, orangey. It's delicious, unfiltered, so it had, you know, it was as thick as an Imperial Stout. It was great. I love it. If you're in Iowa City, check out Easy Eddie. 4.5 out of 5 for me.
Oh, very admirable.
It is nice.
I have a couple brews to shout out here.
Brews?
One I can't even pronounce really well, and I haven't found like a snappy like English version of it. Like, oh, what do they say? Like, Vesti. Vesti.
Oh,
you know how they just say
West
like
of Letterin?
Yeah, and they just
Westy
say Vesti
12?
Yes. So this is Guten Corlus Kuvi van de Kaiser Imperial Dark Blau, which I think means blue. And
really? What does the rest of it mean, Michael?
Something about the Kaiser? I don't know. But it was a quad.
Mm-hmm.
And for a quad, and I think it was north of 10%. I can't remember the exact ABV, but it was very smooth.
You say you can't remember it. I wonder why.
It was also sweet for a quad. And it didn't have like this overpowering dried fruit taste that a lot of quads had. It had that taste, but it wasn't like cloying. So it was a really nice one to drink.
Excellent.
And then I had an Imperial Porter.
Ooh.
Black Butte 28 from Deschutes.
That's a good beer.
So this is like their 28th iteration of this. And so there's like the Black Butte, is like, I think there's a standard beer that they release called that.
There is, yes, that's correct.
But this one is Imperial Porter brewed with cocoa, vanilla, malt, and sweet orange peel, 50% aged in bourbon and scotch barrels.
Dang!
And then they must blend it. And it was really good. It was very peaty, but it wasn't like a whiskey peat. Like, it wasn't like whiskey burning.
Wasn't a scotch peat?
Yeah, I guess so. It just had a real peaty taste without, like, usually whiskey beers that have a very whiskey flavor in them, I don't like at all.
Oh, really?
But
oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. Well, not, I shouldn't say not at all. I mean, it kind of depends. But this was smooth, and it had that peaty whiskey flavor without tasting like I was drinking a snifter of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Tumbler. Whatever you drink.
You say that it's like a bad thing.
Well, for me, yeah. I could take it or leave it, but in this case, I would take it because they pulled it off really well.
I'll take it. Excellent.
Okay. I managed to get through that without sniffing and snorfling. So, Jeremy.
Michael.
We're going to launch a segment that we haven't done in a while.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You're really going to call it this?
It's Jeremy on the Isle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just picture Jeremy's face and those, like, marquee lights.
Like Klieg lights?
Yeah, yes, even better. Yeah, Klieg lights going on underneath it. And, yeah, Jeremy on the Isle written in lights flashing on and off.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, as we established...
What have you seen? Yeah.
Well, so last year, as astute listeners may remember, I did not see any of the Best Picture nominees for Oscars through the course of the year, and I saw them all in a 2-weekend of movie going. And while that was fun, it's not the best way to take in a whole pile of movies because, you know, surprise, surprise, your brain starts to play tricks on you after a while. So this year, I've been trying to make a concerted effort to, you know, sniff out some of the weirder stuff as it comes along rather than, you know, wait till the end of the year and then try to just slam my brain full of it.
So you saw The Florida Project.
I did see The Florida Project. Actually, that is one of them. Did I tell you that?
I think you might have mentioned it last week.
Yeah, so The Florida Project, for those uninitiated, it is a movie... Let's see, let me find the IMDb description, because this is going to be a rough one to describe. Set over one summer, the film follows precocious 6-year-old Mooney as she courts mischief and adventure with her ragtag playmates and bonds with her rebellious but caring mother, all while living in the shadows of Disney World. That's a bogus description. I mean, that all technically happens, but that makes it sound like garbage that I wouldn't touch with a 15-foot pole.
It's not, I bet there's more heart to it than that.
There's actually less heart to it.
Oh, really?
So the director...
Is it cold?
It's not cold, which is why it's stuck with me so much. I saw it a couple weeks ago, and what made The Florida Project interesting is it brings to light this phenomenon of this shadow economy that lives in extended stay motels outside of Disney World, which is apparently a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these motels that were built in the 50s, 60s, whatever the Florida one is, Disney World?
World, yes.
Yeah, World. They built all these really cheesy, you know, 50s, 60s motor hotels. And as the years went on, you know, bigger and better hotels were built on the resort and, you know, elsewhere. But these things still exist. And so it's people paying like $40 a night to stay in them. It's just about, you know, he makes movies about people living on the fringes. And he got Willem Dafoe in on this movie. He's kind of the heart of the movie, which is weird.
Right, because normally you'd think of him as the Green Goblin.
Or just him screaming or, you know, right, losing exactly. His mind and looking like he's coked out of his gourd. But he does really good work in this. I really enjoyed The Florida Project. There's not really an overarching plot to speak of. It's kind of like a slice of life sort of thing.
Mm.
Of these people on summer break. I enjoyed the characters, if that makes sense. So if you get a chance, check out The Florida Project. Check that one out.
Now, Jeremy, have you seen any popcorn-crunching movies, some entertaining flicks lately?
Yeah, on Saturday I actually saw Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
I've...
Now, is this... What are you saying? This series is tired and it's over, or this injected the much-needed spice of life into the series?
Are you, like, reading... I don't write these things on Letterboxd, Michael. Are you paying attention to what I'm writing or what?
No, I'm just using a lot of cliches.
Oh, okay.
For Jeremy on the aisle.
God. So, I've grown pretty weary of the superhero movies. Like, I think we talked about how I was pulled to see Wonder Woman, and it was, you know, it was good. I don't know if I'll, you know, need to go out of my way to see it again. To me, all of these... I'm not touching the DC movies with a 50-foot pole. So, to me, these Marvel movies are starting to feel like exactly the same. They all look the same. They all have the same sense of humor. They all have the same underwritten villain that, you know, just conveniently gets disposed of in the third act. And
you're right.
It always sets up the next one. And blah, blah, blah. But what piqued my interest about Thor Ragnarok is the director, who is a New Zealander named Taika Waititi. Michael, does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, he directed some smaller films that got much critical acclaim.
He's also... you might know him better as the Flight of the Conchords guy.
Oh, that's who it is?
He's one of those guys, yes.
Cool, okay.
He and Jemaine Clement are the two Flight of the Conchords guys. His personality is all over Thor Ragnarok, which I really enjoyed. It's a comedy, which I didn't expect.
Oh, okay. Which is for Thor. Wasn't Thor always a little more on the serious side for those movies?
It was very Shakespearean, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a funny movie. Kate Blanchett does some solid work as the enemy, although it's underwritten. It goes on a little bit too long. Jeff Goldblum is an absolute scene stealer in this movie.
What?
Jeff Goldblum?
I think I knew that, but I forgot.
He's in full Jeff Goldblum mode. Like, every bad parody of Jeff Goldblum, he is taking that and jacking it up to about 50. I don't know if this has reignited my enjoyment of the series as a whole. I'll probably stick to just Guardians 3 and The Avengers when it comes out. I really don't care about the rest of them. They all just kind of look the same.
Mm-hmm.
But Thor Ragnarok was solid. Is solid. I enjoyed it. It's funny. But there's that. I'm probably going to go double or maybe even triple feature some movies soon. But I don't want to say what they are in case I have to hold off on telling you about them.
Okay. All right. Well,
I will likely have some more next week or next time we need to fill time. But long story short, there was those. Also saw Wind River, Lego Batman, Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, featuring a very special contractually obligated mention of Tony Clifton in The Big Sick.
Tony Clifton's in The Big Sick?
No.
He's in...
This is the entire name of the movie. I'm going to read it. Okay, so open quotation. Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, featuring a very special contractually obligated mention of Tony Clifton, close quote.
I have to look into that one.
That one's a documentary on Netflix about... Jim Carrey during the making of the Andy Kaufman movie, Man on the Moon.
Oh, wow. Really?
So they had a documentary crew following them all around while they made this movie, and Jim Carrey went method the entire time.
Yeah.
And apparently Universal or Paramount or whoever the studio was barred the release of that footage for 20 years.
Whoa.
So it's got footage from that, as well as retrospective footage of Crazy Mountain Man Jim Carrey from, like, presumably this year, last year? I don't know. but he's got a giant beard, and he comes off like a truly crazy person, and that movie's pretty fantastic, especially if you like documentaries and that Andy Kaufman movie.
Yeah, I heard, like, that role of Andy Kaufman was much sought after, and I can't remember who else was up for it, but there's, like, stories of casting that part was really intense, and when he got that was a big coup for him.
I was reading some reviews of it on Letterboxd after I watched it. One of them simply read, "You know when freaking Danny DeVito is confused, you've gone off the deep end." he didn't say freaking, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, right. Oh man.
It's worth a watch. Check it out.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's a documentary about a autobiographical film.
Was it autobiographical?
Well, not biographical. Okay, a biopic. The better word. Yeah. A biopic.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe it was an autobiographic picture. Right, he was just screwing with everyone. And right. He killed Bob Zamuda and took his face in like the late 70s or something. I don't know. But Tony Clifton was recently in Iowa City.
Yeah, I've heard he's been making rounds again.
Friend of the show, Zachy Dingles, went to that show as a photographer. And apparently it was crass and he got a number of walkouts.
Oh, God. Which, I think that's his goal, probably.
Oh, 100%. And yeah. It's like, come on, Iowa City, you know better than that.
Right.
But, anyway.
Well, you inspired me to seek out a film, Jeremy, so.
Are you going to go watch, like, Justice League or something?
Yeah, that's right. With that fake upper lip.
Oh, yeah. That was gross. They should have just kept the mustache and haven't been evil or something.
So the lights in the theater are coming up, and the
credits are rolling.
Yeah, I was going to say the busboy, but the bellhop, whatever. The movie theater attendant is sweeping up popcorn and having people leave their seats.
Usher, that's the word we're looking for.
That's the what? Yeah, that's it. And this has been Jeremy on the aisle.
God damn.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll come up with some music.
We'll figure it out. Just play Yakety Sax and we'll go from
there. Yeah, right. Jeremy, let's feud.
Let's feud? Well, Michael, yeah. I don't want to feud. Unless you're talking about the Golden Globe nominated show Feud, Betty and Joan.
I'm talking about Family Feud.
Oh, okay.
Sort of. There's this website called googlefeud.com, and what it does is essentially turns Google searches into a Family Feud style guess 'em up. So there's like different categories and it will have a phrase, incomplete phrase, and then basically you have to guess what the autocomplete is on Google based on searches.
Ooh.
What the most popular searches are. So I tried to just a few just to see what it would be like, mm-hmm. and it's pretty tough.
So we're going by the top answers on what the Google autocorrect would do, correct?
Right.
All right.
And that's based on
autofill,
what
rather.
People search for.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so you have to put your mind in the head of a jabroni to kind of do some of these. So
a jobber of sorts?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So there's categories are culture, people, names, questions. Now I know names are like Melissa blank and you have to put in all the Google searches for that name.
Huh.
So famous people or people in the news. Questions is like where can I or something like that. Where can I, or how can I, etc.
Donde está el baño?
And culture and people are more, I don't know, I haven't found out a pattern to them, but you can kind of
sure
get the general direction. Mm-hmm. So which category would you like?
Spin the wheel, Michael. Let's go with name. We'll start with that.
We'll make this co-op too, because again, because of the difficulty, it'd be basically it'd be just stealing from each other.
Sure.
So there's 10, and let's shoot for half of them, 5.
Okay.
So how does Google autocomplete this query? Joe blank.
Okay, so who are famous Joes in the world right now, Michael?
Yeah. Well, this isn't a famous Joe, but would Joe DiMaggio? I don't know, for some reason that popped into my head right away.
It's good enough. Let's go with Joe DiMaggio.
Okay. Wrong.
Okay. Joe
Biden.
There you go. Boom. Way better.
Number 3.
Boom. How many are there?
10.
10? Oh, Jesus.
You have to do the top 10. Who's that a Joe on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Is there a Joe?
Joe Reglatello or something.
The dude with the wacky face who's in all the Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah.
Joe Lotrulio. I don't think that's going to come up, though.
Should I throw it in there?
Do we want to waste a potential strike on it,
we'll
Michael?
Save it for later. Okay, what's another Joe?
Joe Sixpack? I don't know. Joe, Samoa? Who knows?
Joe. We can't think of anything. Let's go
Latruglio.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's not in there.
Joe Schmo.
Any artist?
Oh, God. I shouldn't have picked that.
Fat Joe?
Fat Joe. Joe, comma, fat.
Joe Budden?
Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. Okay, the movie starring David Spade. Wrong.
Damn, that's three strikes.
That's three strikes. Do you want me to read them out?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here it is. Buck, Montana.
Oh, God. I hate Joe Buck.
Biden. Lewis. Rogan. Lewis Arena.
Joe Rogan.
Buck's wife. Dumars. Muir. And Jackson.
Well, Joe Jackson, I should have done that.
So you see, some of them are like a degree removed from the person. So Joe Buck's wife, Joe Lewis Arena. It's tough, it's tough.
It is tough. Okay, you pick the next category.
You know what, Jeremy? Let's do names again.
Okay.
Jason.
Born.
Number three.
Whoop, whoop. All right, okay.
How do you spell Voorhees?
V-O-O-R-H-E-E-S.
H-E-E-S. Voorhees. No. Oh, I was going to say Jason X, but if
I highly doubt that's going to be on there.
Jason Kidd. Just kidding, like Jason.
Okay.
No.
Jason. Jason Derulo.
D-E-R-U-L-O. Number five.
Oh, God, why do I know that?
He's a pop star.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Jason's. Biggs?
Statham.
Yeah, that's way better than what I said.
Number nine. Biggs, he hasn't been in the limelight for a while.
It's true. But American Pie's... all right, we'll back pocket that one.
Mm-hmm. If X is on here, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, me too. X goes to hell. Takes Manhattan.
Do you want to do a
no,
Jason?
No. those movies aren't good even by, you know, Friday the 13th standards. Well, okay, I take that back. X is good by but the other two I mentioned are not.
Takes Manhattan.
That's a bad movie.
Should you do Biggs?
Yeah, may as well.
B-I-G-G-S?
That's right.
No.
All right.
Here we go. Jason Taylor. Momoa.
Yeah.
We got Bourne. Bateman.
Jason
Derulo.
Bateman.
Yeah. Aldean, Williams, Witten, Statham, and Carr.
I don't
so
know
no
many.
X.
Of, we're bad. Okay, good. Well, at least we have that to hang on our hat. We knew that was not on there.
All right, let's do one more. So we're going to do questions.
Okay.
Why are dogs blank?
Dumb.
No.
Okay.
Cute.
Loyal.
Loyal. Number six.
Woo!
So loyal.
I think we can count that as a win.
Oh, yeah. It counted it.
Okay, good.
Harry. smart. Smart. Opposite of dumb.
Friendly.
Do that. No. Furry. Smart.
There's got to be something about cats in there.
Better than cats?
Yeah.
Number five.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Wet noses. Why are their noses wet?
Wet nose? Why are dogs wet nose?
Why are dogs' noses wet?
Noses wet? Okay, we'll try that. No.
Okay, what do we got?
Oh, wait. Oh, this is BS. Number one. Nose is wet, but they... Yeah, I don't know why they didn't count it.
Lame.
Anyway. So cute.
We got that.
Better than cats.
All right.
So loyal.
Hungry.
Noses cold.
Ah, dang.
So protective. So happy. The best pets.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got torpedoed there. So
we did.
Yeah. Let's make excuses for our poor performance.
Clearly.
Yes. So, yeah. I was actually saving that for a live show sometime, but...
We might need to get more people involved in that.
That's what I think maybe we need. So maybe we will do it live.
I think that's a good idea. But Michael, it's time. It's not Vader time, but it is...
I'm giving away the Vader V thing right now.
Of course. Yeah, it's FDR time, Michael. What is an FDR?
It's where we find a beer, and we drink that beer, and we rate that beer.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy... Tell the kind folks at home what beer we're having today.
We have an oddball one this week, Michael, from
mm-hmm.
Burr Oak Brewing Company. And I feel like we're going into a rural juror situation here with Lily Ale. Michael.
Yes.
What do we say? What do we got going here?
Well, there's not a lot of information about this brewery
it's
out
true.
There. It's small. It's Columbia, Missouri, which makes sense why it might be up in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. Jeremy. But not even on their website, not a lot of history information.
There's really not.
It seems to be an independent brewery, mm-hmm. Based on what I could ascertain. But yeah, just not that much out there. The beer itself, Lily Ale, they advertise it as a cream ale.
Fruity cream ale.
Yes. And so you're probably wondering, why aren't you doing like winter warmers? Well,
we got this a while ago, all right?
Yeah, there you go. Actually, the remaining beers are all kind of...
yeah, they are. I took a look.
Saison-y,
I took a look at that, yeah.
Bits, but too bad. It's all good. Actually, we did a few winter warmers earlier, so go back and listen to those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I have some flavor text for you here, Jeremy.
Gotcha.
On the can. Lily Ale is a celebration of summer with an edible arrangement of flavor. Named after the summer lilies that grow wild all around the Big Tree landscape fed by the Missouri River only several hundred feet away. Enjoy this wonderful bouquet of summer in a glass, where the wind blows softly and the sunshine warms your face. But that's really very, not very wintry.
No.
Lily Ale will remind you of those times worth remembering.
Good God. That's kind of bleak.
That last sentence is a little dark, yeah. As opposed to the dystopian hellscape that you live in today.
Yeah, exactly. Also, the brewer's notes on the website say that Lily is a cream ale with orange and raspberry. Some say that it almost tastes like an orange dreamsicle. Mm. Full-bodied and smooth, Lily has a soft finish.
Okay.
Trying to really hit those L's, Michael.
I noticed about this can, I just noticed this as I was handling it now, but it's like...
Sticker!
It's a sticker, but there's a print on the can, mm-hmm. and then they must just put a sticker over all the different beers they make. So, like, the base can looks like a barrel, and then they must just put a sticker on that for
Holy crap, I thought that was part of the sticker.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I actually had, and beer bragged about, the Boone County Brown... a while back, and that was a stellar beer. Now that I'm looking at that, it has the same barrel thingy on it. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm. So that, yeah. Okay, so you've had some experience with these guys before. I'm going in totally new, but yeah, let's remember the times worth remembering.
Let's remember the good times, Michael.
Yes.
Third grade, back when things didn't suck.
So get this a can, as we were saying.
Yeah.
So pop that open.
It definitely looks like a cream ale. Michael, what kind of glass are you using?
I'm using a tall, kind of voluptuous glass, I guess.
Like a tulip?
I can't think of what yeah, like a tulip, but it's footed, kind of.
I have the same thing.
I think it's a Pilsner glass is what I'm looking for.
Is it like the really tall one that looks like a wide V?
Essentially, yeah, but it's a little more curvaceous.
Mine is...
Has a little curve to it.
Mine is like a Belgian tulip without the flared top.
Okay.
Like an IPA glass.
Getting some aroma.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, we are both ailing somewhat.
There are really some sharp fruit notes that poke through.
Yeah, there are. And I'm getting that creamsicle that they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jeremy?
Yeah, we can't really smell anything. You go in and I'll describe what the color's like.
Okay.
It definitely looks like a cream ale. It is like a light straw yellow. It's... pretty hazy. I can't really see through it. It's got a nice head on it, and it smells really nice.
That's pretty wild, Jeremy. Go in. It's the creamsicle description is very apt.
Wow.
Yes, and it has like this like raspberry tang to
it. A really slight floral hint to it too.
Yeah, that bite that you get,
which I guess is apt given that it's a Lily ale, but
that's definitely different.
That is surprising. Michael, does it taste like a flower?
No, I would say it tastes like a fruit, which come from flowers.
It's true.
It almost tastes like candy.
It kind of does taste like candy. I get what you're talking about in what the brewery is talking about, the creamsicle.
There's that little, like, creamy note. That's
almost vanilla-ish.
Yeah.
On there, which, you know, is to be expected with a creamsicle. But there's something, I know what you mean by the raspberry. I get that. But
it's like a little zingy tang, yeah.
I don't feel like it's like a tart tang like one would expect out of fruit. This definitely feels like it's ice creamy almost.
Yeah, sherbet-y.
Sorbet,
sherbet.
I don't know. I don't know the difference. One is French and one is hyphy.
Isn't sorbet all fruit and sherbet is milk?
I have no clue. I honestly don't.
I'm not sure either. That's me shooting from the hip on that one.
That's for American Pale ice cream cast males.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Michael, so let's see if Michael can eat this entire pint of ice cream in 15 minutes.
Without getting an ice cream headache.
No, you want that because it'd be funny.
Oh, okay.
Leads for content, Michael.
Put on a YouTube.
Yeah, that actually
is... Ice cream prank, dude.
Jeremy drinks a beer while Michael eats ice cream. maybe it's because I'm looking at the can, but... And I have to preface this by saying I don't know what lilies taste like. But it does kind of taste like a lily smells. Which is to say that it's not like a really intense gardenia-scented air freshener or something along those lines. But it's a very light aroma, if it's there at all. And, I mean, like I said, maybe it's because I'm looking at the can. It's entirely possible. It's been a long day.
We used to, in the old home, we used to have stargazer lilies, like, from the garden brought into the home, and they would stank up the place to the point where I would get a headache.
Why did you keep bringing them into your house, Michael?
Well, it wasn't my house. It was my parents' house.
Oh, I thought you meant at your old home that you lived at with your wife and child.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Back like... when I was the child.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying I agree, because I know that smell very well. This is not as pungent as those, which is good.
It's a very deft hand on the various elements of the beer. It's not. I don't feel like one aspect of it overtakes it.
Here's a question. Now, okay. Let me preface the question. There is a little bitterness at the end.
Just a very small amount, yes.
Yeah. Do you think this beer lacks beerosity?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And I'm pretty adamant about that. I feel like the cream ale-ness of it makes up for the oddity of its adjuncts.
Right.
Because there's, I mean, it said there's what, orange, raspberry, and presumably lilies in here, or at least something that's done to mimic the flavor or scent of a lily, which, if that's the case, that's pretty impressive. Do you know, Michael, what the definition of a cream ale is?
I don't know off the top of my dome.
Okay.
It might involve lactose? Question mark?
That's possible.
But I'm looking at the... I'm going to see if it's in the BJCP style guidelines.
What is BJPZ?
Beer Judge Certification Program.
Where does the Z come from?
I didn't say Z. I said C, I think.
Oh. Yeah, well, you are sick, so...
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
So, yeah. So, I usually don't do this because it kind of, throws you off. But I'm having a really hard time describing this beer, so I've gone to Beer Advocate. Is that the good one or the bad one? I know I say this every single time. And I know that I say this every single time, every single time. Is that the good one or the bad one?
That's the good one.
Okay. Black Beer Pirate from June 1st of this year says, taste, flower petals, fruit, semi-sweet, vanilla beans, herbal, flavorful. And I agree. I think that's a really good way of putting it. What do you think about the body on this one, Michael?
I think it's very good for the beer. It has as a cream ale, for some reason, I associate those with a little thicker quality to it.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just enough to lend it to that.
The feel of a, the mouthfeel of a light beer with just like a little bit more meat on the bones,
a little more heft to it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have cream ale. I have history.
That's not what I asked.
Which puts it in a little perspective.
Uh-huh.
An ale version of the American lager style produced by ale brewers to compete with lager brewers in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. Originally known as sparkling or present use ales, lager strains were used, and sometimes still are, by some brewers, but were not historically mixed with ale strains. Many examples are, here's a word I don't know, Krausend.
Yeah. So I actually know what this means.
Okay.
My father used at one point said I was discussing something with him, and he said, "What is krausening?" Because I had never heard of it before, and I think we were talking about Old Style, which is a krausened beer, and I believe that this is where the and I'm gonna double check on this. But I feel like it's where they take some of the yeast or the head that comes off of it. Krausening is a traditional German method for carbonating beers without using sugars or adjuncts.
Oh.
Instead, actively fermenting malt wort is added to the fermented beer to provide the malted sugars needed for carbonation. That's what it was. They skim the top off of the beer and they throw it in another batch.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. It's weird that Old Style is done that way.
That is strange. But, it seems very artisanal for Old Style.
Or it seems like extremely cheap. Where they they had another batch that was on the way. And they just skipped
over there.
It was like, Because otherwise you'd have to use, a rice sugar or something that would... Rice sugar. A corn sugar or something along the way.
Well, Old Style surprisingly ranked high on the show in a blind taste test. So
I'm glad that we did that, but I'm not happy with the results.
We might have to revisit it. Solo Bolo, Gasoline Alley style.
Well, if we're going to do that, we may as well do it during like a beer swap or something and go out to a weird promontory over the Mississippi River in the middle of the winter and do that. But hammered four beers on the way. Anywho.
Okay, so many examples are krausened. To achieve carbonation, cold conditioning isn't traditional, although modern brewers sometimes use it. For ingredients, 6-row malt or combination with 2-row. Okay, that doesn't tell us anything. Adjuncts can include up to 20% flaked maize in the mash, 20% glucose, or other sugars in the boil. Soft water preferred. Any variety of hops. So that's pretty open-ended.
It's basically a Budweiser or a Bud Light, but an ale as opposed to a
ale. With potential adjuncts in there.
So, if we were to throw out, the basics of the difference between a lager and an ale, what would you say? Like, as far as, Uncle Bert comes in and says, well, hey, what's the difference? Or something like that. What would you say?
Between a cream ale and a...
Well, no, lager and an ale.
Well, lagers are cold fermented, ales are warm fermented.
Michael, but this is Uncle Bert, not... Me.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. I always found that definition obtuse. Doesn't translate
big words.
Well.
This is Uncle Bert, man.
Okay.
He's kind of a yokel.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Bert, lagers tend to be a little smoother and subtle, and ales tend to be a little more sharply flavored.
Okay. I would also add, Uncle Bert, that lagers tend to be fizzier.
Okay, yeah.
I've always found
fizzy.
That...
Fizzy.
What am I drinking? A Coke? I don't know.
Well, no. See, I would think they would like fizzy because they just Uncle Bert's a big fan of I'm gonna have some suds and go on home or whatever. That always weirded me out when people called beer suds.
Yeah, it's
gross. I don't like that.
Sounds like you're doing the laundry or something,
right? Digression. My father has been on the fire department in my hometown, volunteer fire department, for like over 35 years now. Not so much anymore, but we would go down to the fire department in my small town home, and he would hang out and watch like football games and have a beer with the guys, while my brother and I would run roughshod over the fire trucks and like climb all over them and generally do stuff that would probably... be frowned upon these days just because, you shouldn't really have kids running around in ambulance, but...
right, yeah.
But it was the 80s, it was a different time. But I definitely remember people referring to Old Style as suds. There was one dude...
Oh, man.
...who, oddly enough, owned one of the two bars in my hometown, who would just... You want some suds? You want some suds? It was like a Midwestern version of Hank Hill at that point.
Yeah, that's just gonna say Hank Hill.
But I suspect this is the type of guy who would make some not cool slurs if you said, I have this ale for you.
Right.
Or, I mean, God forbid, you know, he's like, this beer has lilies in it, which is what we're talking about. So, Michael, let's get to the rating.
Rating.
This is a weird one, man.
It's hard to put my finger on it. I will say this. Maybe I'll rate it first, but... Okay, so...
Is the novelty wearing thin on you?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, when I first drank it, I was really like, whoo, wow, that's awesome, and real psyched.
Wow,
as I drink it more, it's kind of like, okay, this is my seventh Warhead at this point, you know?
Really?
Maybe seven's a little too far, but it's like... There's diminishing returns as I drink this beer. And I definitely wouldn't want to drink more than one in a sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give them props, though, for this taste in the first place,
This is different. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever had anything that tastes like this before.
Right.
Or at least not in beer form anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure there's some sort of weird, like, air quotes, martini that you could get that tastes like a creamsicle. But, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
This is different.
Something at Gray's.
Yeah. The list of half-price $5 martinis is a lot smaller than it used to be.
Yeah, that was our, yeah. Should we contextualize that? That was a martini bar in Iowa City we used to go to in college that their happy hour was half-price martinis. And
Thursdays? $5 martinis, anyone on the map.
Which was basically like three shots of Stoli vodka.
So they have, you know, the chocolatini and the appletini and the limoncellos and all of those fruity things. But when counsel of the show was merely law student of the show, he was, you know, a law student. So he was poor as hell. But if you get a drink that was $20 at half price, it was $10 and it was four shots of vodka in there, you know, you're fine for a night. And so all you would need is one drink. It was great.
Right. I remember, maybe this is revealing too much of my past self, but I would have my plan going in there was to have one of those like regular martinis, like just, you know, gin with a few olives in there. And then I would have a fruity martini and then, you know, like a limoncello. And then I would have like a dessert one with like Godiva those stuff. Oh man. If I did that now, I'd die.
You'd be it's not like you're having that in an hour and a half.
Well, that's true, too. We spend the whole night there.
Exactly. You're fine. We're responsible. And we certainly didn't do anything that, you know, would cause employers concern.
Right.
But, rate this. Yeah, good God, digressions. Okay.
Okay, this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to go, maybe it's a little too low. But, again, the novelty's wearing off. I'm going to go 3.25.
I wish I would have said that or written it down or something because that was that was what I thought you were going to rate it.
Right. Just because, like, first sip, awesome, right out of the gate. Then just, like, diminishing returns as it goes. And now I'm kind of bouncing back a little bit saying that, hey, this is a pretty uniquely flavored beer. It's pretty good flavor. And so I have to give it some props. So they got a little bounce back at the end. Mm-hmm. Which probably brought it up to that 0.25. So,
well, I like this one a little bit more. I feel as it warms up, it is. I feel like you're right. I feel like it is losing a little something as it warms up. This is definitely a summer beer, although I feel like I just saw it in the cooler still. But maybe that's because, you know, it's not selling well, which is a shame.
The website said limited release on this one, so I don't know if that means it's seasonal or if it's whenever they feel like making a batch, but anyway.
So if I were these guys, I would see if I could put this flavor in a stout or a porter.
Oh, yeah, something to kind of give a little, something to lean on.
Yeah.
That might not be bad. It would taste like one of those come around Christmas time.
Those chocolate oranges. Yeah.
Yes.
Those things are solid.
Oh, man. Those are good.
But that said, I like the, even though it's got, you know, a slightly wilting lily, I guess I don't know what they're supposed to look like off the top of my head on the can. This is a brazen beer in my mind. As I established earlier, I don't really know what this thing tastes like.
Right.
I've never had a beer that tastes like this, let alone in, anything in the wild. The orange and the, I guess, raspberry come through well, and I think it's really well balanced. This is definitely a novelty, as we've established, and it is not meant for, you know, rapid consumption or the crushability quotient. There you go. There's a new tongue twister for you.
Oh, cool.
That is definitely on the low end, but that said, I really like this beer. I'm giving it a 4.
Okay.
It's out there just enough for me.
Yeah. You're giving it respect because of the bold, unique flavor.
I am.
Yeah. It's... And that's, I mean, that's, I can't argue with that because I agree with that point.
I was worried that this would become a little too sweet and some of the...
just too sweet?
Some of the green screening would show through on this particular effect, as it were, but that's not been an issue for me. It's, I don't think it's a cloying sweetness. It's the vanilla, I think, is really masking that. If there was a sweetness or an over-sweetness, it's taken care of by the vanilla.
Well, there you go.
There it is. Another one down the gullet. Michael, hit me with those social media plugs.
Sure. You can find us and get in touch in a variety of ways. You can do that at APM Pod on Twitter, facebook.com/APMPod, APMPod@gmail.com. You can email us directly there. You can also check us out on Untapped, APMPod there as well, where host emeritus Mike, keeper of the Untapped, throws up our ratings. Give us a shout out. Let us know what you're drinking or something. I can't remember what you use that app for now. We have a YouTube page. You can subscribe to the show.
Have you been paying attention to the comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friend of the show, Steve, has been commenting,
all
I
right.
think.
Yes, he has. I was just checking to see if you had, had noticed that.
Thank you, Steve. First. you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcast, on Stitcher, on Google Music, anything that you use, just go out and subscribe, and if you can leave some sort of review or rating, we'd appreciate that too. But yeah, I think that's it, Jeremy.
I think it is too, Michael.
So, for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And this is American Pale Males. Cheers!
Cheers!